Okay. So let's add a few perspectives to what we closed off with yesterday. So yesterday we're considering the role of Vari Pri HaGafen in Kiddush, whether it is integrated into Kiddush and plays a crucial role in Kiddush itself, or should we say that it is there because it's a brach al hakos. We have wine there, whether wine is in HaTorah, Midrabanan, somewhere in the middle, that's still somewhat up in the air. But one way or another, Bari Pri HaGafen is an additional component which should either be there in order to allow us to drink the wine, or maybe more than that, in order to constitute a actual party kiddush. So yesterday we took the perspective that leaned towards saying that it was an integral part of kiddush, and we discussed Reb Soloveitchik's approach that has to do with the matir component of a bracha, and that connects it to the whole notion of kiddush itself. And kiddush as a zechirat haShabbos is about being matir, our relationship with the world, because of our acknowledgement of the Creator, and so too, that's what the bracha itself does. So to work within that a little bit more, and to maybe consider a different angle, there was a volume that was published a few years ago from the Shiurim Rav Tzvi Kozlovsky, Shlita, the Shiva known colloquially as Rav Tzvi, Heichal HaTorah, and he has a different perspective on this issue, and leads him to address the various rayas that we spoke about differently. So, for example, we discussed the question of arvus and the issue of whether arvus should extend to not just kiddush itself, but also to the bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen. That's the question the Gemara raises. It seems to conclude that since the rule normally is only berachas hamitzvos are extended through arvus and not so where does a bracha like Bari Pri HaGafen of Kiddush fit in? And also, our other major topic for the Zman, where does a bracha like a matzah fit in? So Rav Kozlovsky understands from the very Havamina of the Gemara that if we're linking Bari Pri HaGafen of Kiddush and Hamotzi of matzah, so it seems like we're not saying that there is a special status of the Bari Pri HaGafen of Kiddush. When it comes to the Hamotzi of Matzah, it seems pretty clear that that's a Berachas HaNenin straight up. And that the question really is that since it's necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah, so maybe we shouldn't treat it like a regular Berachas HaNenin. But it still is essentially a Berachas HaNenin. It's just Arvus that may have a different rule. So if they're considered together, these two questions, so then maybe that's an indication that Bari Pri HaGafen is, even in Kiddush, just a regular Berachas HaNenin. So far, so good? So he also then goes on to address another raya that we considered, and he took it to the opposite place, that Magen Avraham quotes in the context of Havdalah, that if you miss the bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen and you just hear the bracha of Hamavdil, then you are Yotzei. And we noted that Reb Chaim distinguished between that and Kiddush, that in the context of Kiddush, if you miss the Bari Pri HaGafen, then you are not going to be Yotzei. So with that, that distinction of Reb Chaim was part of the case to be made that in Kiddush, Bari Pri HaGafen takes on a more fundamental role. However, if Kozlovsky doesn't quote the Reb Chaim on this, his assumption is that it's the same as Havdalah. Like we see by Havdalah, that's how the Magen Avraham understands. If you don't hear the Bari Pri HaGafen, you're going to be Yotzei anyway. So it should also be true by Kiddush. And like we said, it's not at all a theoretical question, especially if you go to an event where there's one Kiddush in a large room and the Mekadesh is down for the bracha, it's very, very frequently going to be the case that the bracha will be drowned out by the rustling of the chairs. This is a very practical question. So, first, he comes from that premise, that the Bari Priyagafen is not special, that it's simply there as a Berchus Bandanin for the bracha al hakot. However, he says, to go back from the Gemara about Arvus, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that you saw in the Afchot test, that there is something that we have to figure out, because the Gemara ultimately concludes that Rav Papi was apparently a proof that you can have Arvus even for Bari Priyagafen, because the Gemara says that he made Kiddush for himself, and then he made Kiddush for the next one who came in the room also. So apparently Arvus works there too. So the problem is, why is it so obvious from the story that he made Bari Priyagafen also? Maybe he didn't need to make another Bari Priyagafen because he already had for his own Kiddush from before. So maybe he just repeated the bracha of Kiddush. How do we know that there was a Bari Priyagafen there that was Motzi, the incomer, the newcomer? And why is that clear that that's a necessary part of the process? So the way he understands it, see, is that you can assume that the bracha is necessary because in order for it to be a kosher bracha, once we assume that there is this din, that kiddush should be al-hayayin. So in order for that to be significant, it has to be a bracha that is matir the shtiyah, that the shtiyah has to become permissible through the bracha. So therefore, there had to be a Bari Priyagafen included as part of the kiddush process. A little bit of a complex idea, which you need to work a little bit harder to try to understand. But it seems like this is also drawing on a similar principle to what Rav Soloveitchik was saying, that there is a aspect of the heter that comes from the bracha that is integrated into the kiddush experience. The whole notion of first recognizing God's creation and only then partaking of the creation. So if that's the case, he comes up with the following chiddush lahalacha, his conclusion, which would save the people who come to the large Friday night gatherings, is that he thinks that whether or not it's crucial for you to hear the bracha depends. That the bracha needs to be a matir. So if the person making kiddush is making kiddush for the first time that night, it's a heter for him as well. So then that has to be included in the kiddush, but you don't necessarily have to hear that. So if you, as a listener, don't hear the bracha of Bari Priyagafen, but you do hear the bracha of Kiddush, so then you're still yotzei. So if the chairs are rustling, fine. The one who's making Kiddush is making it for the first time that night, it doesn't matter if the chairs are rustling. But if somebody was going to repeat Kiddush on behalf of someone else, so then he's only doing this because of Arvus. So the kos is going to need a heter, it's going to need to be nitar through the kiddush, and for the one making kiddush, that's not the case. So therefore, we're going to need the listener to hear that bracha. So essentially, that's his distinction, whether or not the listener needs to hear the bracha of Bari Priyagafen too, depends on whether the Makadish is being motzi himself too. That, in other words, the Bari Priyagafen of kiddush has to be matir one. So if the one who is making it needs that for himself, then fine, the listener doesn't need to hear it. But if the one making it already heard Kiddush, already made Kiddush before, so then he's only doing it on behalf of listeners, then the listener has to hear the Bari Priyagafen also. It's an interesting distinction. I will let you decide which interpretation you find more compelling. It's an interesting distinction. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so just to add a little point, about Havdalah before moving on further into Kiddush Makom Suda, which will really become our main focus after this point. So when it comes to Havdalah, I just can't resist the Parsha reference. So to go back to still in the zone of Parshas Korach, you can still make a Havdalah today, according to some Rishonim. You can still do Shnei Merkav Yechatargam after today. We rely on that, but theoretically we're still within striking distance of Parshas Korach. So I pointed your attention yesterday to the idea that Moshe says regarding Korach, says Boker V'yod Hashem, that God is going to make clear who is right and who is wrong. And he invokes the Boker, he invokes the morning. And Rashi over there says that you think that you can mess up the distinctions between the Kohen and the Levi and the Yisrael and all the different delineations that we have in Klal Yisrael. Just like night and day, the classic metaphors for that which is different from each other. So just like morning and night are distinct, so too these other classifications are also distinct. So in the context of that connection that Rashi is bringing in from Chazal, and talking about the whole concept of distinction in Havdalah, is when the Sefer came out called Midei Shabbos on Bamidbar, where he interprets this in the context of our Gemaras, the Gemaras in the beginning of our Beis Sofim, where there is a machlokis in the Gemara about what has to be included in Havdalah. So do we just say Hamatzal Bein Kodesh L'chol? Or do we include other distinctions that are out there that we know the halacha, we do distinguish, we do include in our Havdalah, Mavdil Bein Kodesh L'chol, Bein Or L'choshech, Bein Shal Amne, Bein El Shvila Sheish Bein Ma'aseh. So in particular, Or L'choshech, that's integrated into our Havdalah, so it makes a statement that essentially what we're saying is that there are some distinctions that are very clear and apparent and undeniable, and there are some distinctions that are much more subtle. And by linking them together, so we're essentially saying that even the distinctions that require more perception, and it's important to appreciate both philosophically and halakhically, that the Gemara ties together all these ideas, that the notion of Chachma is connected to the whole theme of distinctions, which the Gemara says that we insert Havdalah and Tefillah in the bracha of Chon Ein Das, because in Ein Havdalah Ein Das, that you cannot be wise without the ability to discern, often used as a synonym for wisdom is discernment, the ability to distinguish and to tell the difference between different things. And a lot of mistakes and very significant errors come from incorrect being medamna milta l'milta. Very often you find this in all areas of life, really in all areas of life, but in halacha and in philosophy and in culture and in society, a lot of mistakes are made because people assume that things are comparable that really aren't. That, oh, if it's true here, it's true there, et cetera, et cetera. So, therefore, let's bring that all into the same category. And the ability to discern and to distinguish is crucial for Chachma. So here, part of the whole debate between Moshe and Korach is on this point in general. And Korach, as Chazal tells us, we know Korach was really a wise person. He was a smart guy, for sure. He was somebody who should have had the power of discernment and to distinguish, but he also had a big negia. He had a big bias here that was getting in the way. But that's what Moshe is trying to call attention to, that if you have the ability to distinguish, so you'll see the difference between the different classifications within halacha and the Torah's view of society is no different than the distinction between night and day. So we incorporate that into our Havdalah, as the machlokas of the Gemara, but it calls attention to the fact that the role of Havdalah, as the name itself indicates, is to highlight what Shabbos is by identifying it as different from the rest of the week as Orlo Choshech, as night and day, as Boker. So, in that sense, he associates it with the view of the Rambam, which the Rambam really need a source, in a sense, that when the Rambam says that Havdalah is included in the mitzvah of Zohar from HaShabbos to Kaicho, that tells us that the idea of Zechirat HaShabbos is about identifying Shabbos as distinct and as unique. And therefore, Havdalah, on the outgoing side, is a part of that as well, to be able to recognize and to declare that the distinction of Shabbos from the rest of the week is a very real and genuine distinction, akin to these other distinctions that are invoked as part of the bracha of Havdalah. Okay? Make sense? Everybody with me? Okay, so with that, so let's now pivot into the topic of Kiddush Makom Seudah, which is a complex topic both conceptually and, we'll see a little bit today and a little tomorrow perhaps, the practicalities of Kiddush Makom Seudah are themselves challenging, and we have to try to understand and appreciate what exactly that reflects for us as well. So, how do we know the idea of Kiddush Makom Seudah? Right, so our Gemara makes it very clear. Gemara has a machlokas, the Rav Shmuel, but ultimately our Gemara tells us about the concept and a lot of the details that we assume Kiddush ain't Kiddush El Makom Seudah, that Kiddush has to be in the place with the meal. So, how do we know that? How does the Gemara know that? Even the Gemara does not tell us where it knows it from, but the Rishonim address it in a little bit more detail. So how do we know it according to the Rishonim? Hey, where did Menachem? Okay, so that is, you'll forgive me, a third of the answer. That's part of the answer, but we need to explain that a little bit more. So why do I call it a third of the answer? Because there are two possibilities that are brought in the Rashbam, and many other Rishonim address this also. It's really interesting because the Gemara doesn't tell us, but the Rishonim all had a tradition on this one way or another, so they all get involved, and many Rishonim comment. So when I say it's a third of the possibilities, so there's basically three possibilities. Either it's from the cross of the Shabbos Oneg, or it isn't. And if it is from the Karos L'Shabbos Omeg, there's two possible ways to explain this. So let's look together for a second. Let's look at the Rashbam. Right? So the Rashbam, the first Rashbam in Kufal Al-Smiral from Tzachim, he says that, commenting on the line of the Gemara, that Afidei Kiddush Liyatsu, that here, this is the din of Kiddush Veis HaKnesses, which God willing we will itself go into more detail about our relationship to that Kuzman Hazak, a fascinating practice in itself. But the idea of Ain Kiddush El Makom Seudah, so that the Gemara gets into, because talking about this idea of making Kiddush in Shul and how that is not going to work for most of the people who are local. So the Rashbam says, "Ati the kiddush liyotzu ki deparshim in time lekamei," as the reason explained later. A kiddush al makom sudah. Kiddush has to be the makom sudah. Well, how do we know? The says, like Menachem says, the karosel the Shabbos oneg. So that, like he said, that source from the pasuk in Yishayo is invoked as a source for the din of kiddush makom sudah. Now, the idea of the Karos L'Shabbos Oneg has a lot to it. It's one of the major themes of Shabbos. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah tells us that there are four themes of Shabbos: two min haTorah and two midivrei Kabbalah, two transmitted to us through tradition. The two min haTorah being Zachar and Shamar, and the two midivrei Kabbalah being Kavod and Oneg. Both are addressed in that pasuk, in that parak over there in Yeshaya, as I mentioned, that it's ironic because this is the source for the notion of eating a meal on Shabbos, and the time when we read this Haftorah on Shabbos is the one Shabbos we don't have a meal, because it's Haftorah from Yom Kippur. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, we'll read this Haftorah on a Shabbos when we're not eating. But it is otherwise the mucker for the idea of a Suda on Shabbos. So here, it says the Karas of the Shabbos Oneg is invoked, but we still have to explain what that means, practically speaking, and what that means even just conceptually. So you have to pay close attention to how the Rashbam goes on, because not all the Rishonim convey it in the same way. It says, B'makom sha'ata korei l'Shabbos, in the place where you call out to Shabbos, k'loimar kriya de kiddush, that is to say, kiddush. So that kriya, shan tehei oneg, so that's where you should have the meal. In the place of the kiddush, that's where you should have the meal. U'medrashu, okay, so that's a drasha. Now, just to flip over for a second, if you see the rush, which you have to look at, Rush Simon Hay, very important rush. He has a lot in here, and the rush is indicative of another version in the Rishon. That the language of the rush is that Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda D'Chsev V'Karos L'Shabbos Oneg V'Makom Oneg Shom Tehei Kriya. Right, so what do you notice about the difference between the Rush and the Rashbam? Right, can somebody help me out? What do you notice?
Switch the order.
Switch the order, right? So switching the order is possibly switching the focus. Right, so that's something to keep your eye out for, because it probably will impact a lot of different issues. That are we saying that Kriya, the Kiddush, is Midin Suda, or is the Suda Midin Kiddush? When we link Kiddush and Suda, Ein Kiddush Al Makom Suda, so whose purposes are we serving? Right, just parenthetically, you know, it's kind of, if you want to talk about Chakiras and categories, you have a similar discussion about Smichas Gula Tfila. We have to have Gal Yisrael going into Shmoneh Esrei, who are we helping with that? Are we helping the Gula Vacha, or are we helping the Tfila? So too, we say, Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda, who are we helping? Right, are we helping the Kiddush, that the Kiddush should be B'Makom Suda? So, B'Makom Kriya, once you're doing the Kriya, you have to have your own egg there? Or are we serving the interests of the Suda? That maybe the Suda Shabbos should have a Kiddush associated with it. Once you're going to have an Oneg Shabbos, so there should be a Kiddush that is connected to that. And that could explain a few other ideas. So, for example, the fact that we have another Kiddush the next day, right, that we do associate Kiddush with both of the major meals on Shabbos. So that might lend some status to the idea that the Kiddush, the Makom Suda connection, is for the purposes of the Suda. The Suda needs a Kiddush rather than the Kiddush needing a Suda. And you may recall that we discussed last week the Shuvah Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer said that Anshei Ma'aseh would make Kiddush by Shal Shudas too. That there is a logic to that as well, even though that's not what we do, but to make Kiddush by Shal Shudas. There's a svara for that also. So that's a very fascinating idea. The nature of Shal Shudas and it being, you know, kind of somewhere in the middle, but also the idea, just to talk for a second, you know, the notion of having to identify your own Shabbos as meaningful. So we know that if you bench on Shabbos, so you have to say you say, and you should be benching because you're supposed to be having a meal. So you're supposed to bench and you're supposed to say Ritzay. And the halacha, I think we talked about this in other contexts, I think we did talk with some about Dalit Tosos, that the din is that if you forget to say Ritzay, or if you forget to say Elav Yovo on the Yantif meal, so do you have to repeat the benching or not? So it depends on whether the meal itself is obligatory. If the meal is obligatory, like Friday night dinner, like Shabbos lunch, like the Seder night, like a Sudas Yontif in general. So then, if you forget to ever say Yalviyovo, you have to go back and repeat it. But if it's Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, when it's nice to have a Suda, but it's not, strictly speaking, obligatory, so then you're supposed to say Ritzei Yalviyovo, but if you forget it, it's not Ma'akev. It won't make you go back and repeat. So what's the idea there, the linking of the need for a Hazkara, Ritzei Yalviyovo, and the Chiyuv Suda? So it would seem, logically, that essentially if you're mechuyev to have a meal, if it's Shabbos or Yontif and you're obligated to have a Suda, so then in order for that Suda to count, if you're going to have a Suda and you want it to be acknowledged as a Suda for Shabbos or Yontif, so you should be mentioning that. But if you're going to have your whole meal and not talk about Shabbos at all, not talk about Yontif, so then it doesn't really seem to impress us that you're thinking about Shabbos HaYotif in this Suda. It seems like you were just hungry and you were just interested in having this lavish meal, but it's not associated with Shabbos HaYotif. So you want to be credited, so to speak, with your Suda, so then it would make sense that you have to acknowledge that it is for Shabbos HaYotif. So now you might say, well, okay, but then if that's the issue, I would think that if I failed to do that, if I benched and I didn't say, Yalaviyavo, so then the remedy shouldn't be that I should bench again. It should be that I should eat again. Right? That apparently that meal didn't count. So let me have another meal and have that count for Shabbos or Yontif. So Reshech discusses that one of the Svarim, and he basically says that logically that's true, that really it's the meal that should be redone. But Chazal Remekel on us, I guess it depends on what you consider a Kula, what you consider a Chumra here, but Chazal Remekel here, that instead of the more logical requirement of having to redo the whole meal, we have the ability, through this Kula, to just relabel the meal and to bench again with a Ritzei or a Yalaviyavo. So there, that might parallel this idea that the meal needs to be labeled with Kiddush in order to count. So it's not that we associate the meal with Kiddush for the purposes of the Kiddush itself, but for the purposes of the meal. The meal needs a Kiddush in order to count, for in order to really fully do its job as a Shabbos meal. So that also would indicate that maybe there is some value, theoretically, to making Kiddush for Shal Shittus, and we don't see that, other than what the Chassam Sofer told us about, but maybe theoretically there would be some value to that. We see that Shal Shudas is a whole other sugya, which is not really in our parak so much, but Shal Shudas has a different status than the other two meals. It was a topic we spoke about a little bit because of Erev Pesach Shchel Yosh B'Shabbos, and that put a big spotlight on Shal Shudas because it all of a sudden became very difficult to fulfill. But we know that the requirements are a little different, and so here it kind of parallels that we don't have a Kiddush normally for Shal Shudas, and we do say Ritzei for Shal Shudas, but if you should forget to say Ritzei, we don't make you go back. We only apply that requirement to the first two meals, which are more definitively associated with an obligation to eat bread. And that, again, is the topic we talked about a little bit in the context of Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So what it sounds like from the Rashi's formulation, which is in a few other Rishonim as well, that the purpose of Kiddush Makom Suda is for the Suda. So from the Rashbam, and as many other Rishonim like him too, it sounds like the Suda is there for Kiddush. And the Rashi sounds the other way around. The Kiddush is there for the Suda. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so now I said again that there's only a third of the answer to say the Karas L'Shabbos Oneg. So now to continue in the Rashbam, you see, he has a whole different approach. He says, okay, so if you want to have a drasha from a pasuk, that would be the drasha from a pasuk. Then he goes on to say, Inami, or if you want, I'll tell you, Svari, that maybe it's actually just a Svari, that we can figure out on our own that Kiddush has to be in Mokum Suda. Why? Mid'itva Kiddush alayayin, right, that since we have this din, Kiddush on wine, Kiddush on wine, that we see later that you should remember the din of drasha or asmachta, the kiddush should be on wine. Misama al hayayin shebishas sudo chukva dechashiv. That we don't just mean wine for the sake of wine. That if we're saying that you should make kiddush on wine, we don't mean random wine. We mean the wine that's associated with the suda, that takes on the chashivas of the suda. So if we're saying kiddush should be on wine, that it means wine is makom suda. Essentially, it's all part of one sentence. It's all part of one din. So a couple of ha'aris here, and we'll just have to kind of put them on the table, no pun intended, and then we'll continue tomorrow seeing where they lead. But you see that the Rashbam has these two possibilities, but they line up together on the opposite side of what the Rush has. Right? Because what we said for the first part, that the Rush sounds like it's a din in the Suda, while the Rashbam says the din in the Kiddush. So both of these possibilities, even though they're coming from different places, they both belong in that column, that it's a din in the Kiddush, either because of the interpretation of the Pasuk, the Makom Kriya Shantahei Oneg, and the idea that the wine that is there as the Chreyu Al Yayin is presumably wine of Chashivas, which is there for the Suda. So the same way we'll understand the wine to be for the purposes of Kiddush, clearly. So too, Makom Suda is an extension of the wine, it's all an extension of Kiddush. So both of the approaches in the Rashbam will line up with the idea that it's for the purposes of the Kiddush, and the Rush will line up with the idea, perhaps, that it's for the purpose of the Suda. Now, to get one more point in here, so once we establish this, so we have some kind of a source or some kind of a svar, so what is this? Is this Daraisa? Is this Darabanan? What do you think? How do we relate to that? Is that Daraisa, Darabanan? Somewhere in the middle. I think Levi's nodding to say it's somewhere in the middle, kind of like in between here and there. So, probably Misvara, it sounded like this is Drabanu, is a little more likely. Hard to see this all included in the Pasuk of Zachar Yisum HaShabbos L'Kadesho. But who knows, if we're going to say it's Midin Divrei Kabbalah, so Divrei Kabbalah could have a status like Divrei Torah, that's the whole discussion. And if we really can trace a path, if we can call Yayin HaTorah according to those Rishonim who did, so if we're going to say that, well, then the Svari is that the Yayin should be the Yayin of the Suda, so perhaps the case could be made. So this question of whether it's Dareis or not is possibly included within the Rush at the end. This whole Rush is very important. From beginning to end, there's a lot of stuff in this Rush. Shouldn't rush through it because there's much contained. But at the end of the Rashi, it gets into a very important, very significant issue, that the question of the Kiddush and Shul issue, which we're going to, again, go into in further detail, but the Rishonim did discuss it here on the introductory level, and on a basic level, and here the Rush invokes the Ran, invokes Rabbeinu Yonah, rather, invokes Rabbeinu Yonah, who maintained that there's purpose in saying Kiddush and Shul, even without Makom Suda, because Makom Suda is an Asmachta. It's not really the Din Min HaTorah. And therefore, the people who are in Shul, who are not eating there, but they're maybe not making Kiddush at home either, so at least they'll get that. At least they'll get the Kiddush Min HaTorah, and they will go home, and they won't go home, but they'll at least get Kiddush Min HaTorah, and other people will go home and make the full Kiddush. So the Rush disagrees with this. And the Rush says, this notion that you're going to accomplish something in Shul without the Makom Suda, says doesn't sound like it at all from the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like not Yotzei at all. Not ain't Kiddush el Makom Suda. Ain't Kiddush. There's no Kiddush. You're not Yotzei. No Mofik. You're not Yotzei. And he says that could have been the answer to the Gemara's question already. In this Man had the Gemara. They didn't have to explain that there were people eating in the shul, that you could say that maybe even if there weren't people eating in shul, whoever might be passing through but not making their own kiddush would at least get that. The same way Rabbeinu Yonah was suggesting for Bizman HaZeh could have been true in the time of the Gemara also. So it sounds on the surface like the Rosh is saying that kiddush b'makom suda is min haTorah. He's arguing on that premise, and that you're not the yotzei at all without it. So, like we said, it's difficult to say that. It's not impossible, you know, but you could build a path from the Torah to the Din and make it all included. And it also could be relevant to the whole question we've been discussing throughout the year, that if you have a Din Derabanan that modifies a Din Min HaTorah, so maybe you're not even Yotzei Min HaTorah without that Din Derabanan. Parenthetically, it's interesting because Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos is one of the opinions that's quoted as taking that position, and here Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying the opposite, which is a topic that gets much comment in of itself. Maybe we'll add a little bit more to that. But does the Rush really mean that one way or another you're not Yotzei Min HaTorah without Kiddush Makom Suda? So that's a question. The same sefer mentioned before, Tzvika Shalevsky, and his sefer, and others, they find it too hard to believe that that's what the Rush really means. And the way they understand it is that, ask the question from the other side, that we're assuming that what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that this din is only midrabanan, so you can be yotzei something without it. Now the Rush disagrees means he's saying it's deraisa. Maybe no. Maybe the Rush is disagreeing. He's just saying that there's nothing to be gained from the coast of Kiddush without Makom Suda. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's saying it's deraisa. Maybe he's saying that the whole line is derabanan. So to add Kiddush al HaKos without Makom Suda, then you're dividing in between the derabanan. You're saying that, okay, I will make Kiddush al HaKos to fulfill something, but it won't be Makom Suda. But if the line is derabanan, so then maybe like the Magen Avraham, Yotzei Min HaTorah without the wine, without the Kiddush al HaKos at all, just Daven Maariv. And if you want to get the Din Derabanan, then you're going to need Makom Suda. So ain't Kiddush midrabanan elav Makom Suda, but then there's no value to just the Kiddush with the wine. And indeed, the Rush, I could give this look at tomorrow, the Rush in his comments in Maseches Nazir, in that Gemara that we've talked about a little bit before, about whether Kiddush of Avdalta requires wine in the HaTorah, so there the Rush says it's drabanan. So here the Rush L'Shitasa could say wine is drabanan. So what are you going to gain from adding a cup of wine without it being B'makom Suda? So therefore, if you want to get Kiddush, midrabanan, you're going to need it to be B'makom Suda. And if you want Kiddush deraisa, so you already have it perhaps with Davin. Okay, so we will break there. We said a little bit about three different topics, a little bit about the role of Bari Priya Gafen, a little bit about the whole notion of Havdalah and distinction, and got into a little bit of an introduction about Kiddush B'makom Suda. And Beis Hashem, tomorrow we will look at some of the many practical implications that emerge from that Kiddush B'makom Suda issue. So I wish you all a wonderful play, a wonderful day. Should be only good things, and God willing, I will see you tomorrow. All right, two calls to...